dawn came suddenly on Lacrimae Christi. Everyone who could pack themselves onto the catwalks was there waiting, when the sunlight suddenly forced its way past the clouds, throwing back the gloom, and the view outside the mission appeared again. And there, standing still and silent in the rain, in the clearing all the way around the mission, were row upon row of Grendel aliens. Owen looked dumbly down from the wall, his mouth dry, and could all but feel the confidence draining out of the mission's defenders. Gengineering killing machines from the vaults of the sleepers, held in suspended animation for unknown centuries, perhaps even millennia, but now reborn into an unprepared universe. Living horrors with spiked crimson armor that was somehow a part of them, and steel teeth and claws. Deadly, remorseless, invincible killers. They existed only to destroy, programmed by their unknown creators in all the subtle arts of slaughter. Shub looted hundreds of thousands of them from the vaults of the sleepers, and no one ever saw any of them again. Until now.
That's it. It's official. Things just got worse. I'd recommend running if there was anywhere to run to.
Are they really so much more dangerous than the Haydenmen?
We stood a chance against the Haydenmen. I've killed any number of augmented men. I only ever killed one Grendel, and it very nearly killed me. It was stronger than I was, faster. It took my hand. I still have nightmares. And now, there are thousands of them out there.
Swords won't stop them. A direct hit with a disruptor only slows them down unless you hit one of its very few vital spots. They were created to be unstoppable. We are in deep shit, people.
Mother Beatrice turned to Sister Marion at her side.
Tell everyone to arm themselves, even the wounded. Get everyone who can stand to defensive positions. Reactivate all the booby traps and arm the explosives.
Sister Marion nodded grimly, her tall black hat bobbing, and hurried off.
Explosives?
A last resort. We used them for clearing spaces in the jungle to establish new settlements. They're all linked together in one place, enough to take out the whole compound. A last gesture of defiance, if it's obvious there's no other way.
Put someone in charge of the button who doesn't panic easily. We're going to do our best to give these bastards a good run for their money, right, Owen?
Right.
Owen flexed the fingers of the hand he'd regrown.
We've been in impossible situations before, Mother Beatrice, and we're still here. But if you do have a direct line to the good Lord, now would be a really good time to put in a claim for a miracle.
Mother Beatrice smiled.
Every legend has its ending, Sir Owen, and every hero falls at last. But if that's all that's left to us, let us at least die well. God expects no less. Now, if you'll excuse me, I must return to the infirmary. I think I'm going to be needed there.
She left, her back perfectly straight, her head bent in thought, or perhaps prayer, and people made way for her as she passed, and bowed respectfully.
She'd have made one hell of a warrior.
Sure, she's always been a fighter in her own way. The mild manner don't tend to last long enough to become living saints.
Grendels. Why did it have to be bloody Grendels? At least we stood a chance against the Haydenmen.
It isn't over till the fat lady sings.
What does that mean?
I'm not sure. It was in one of my history books, and I've always liked the sound of it. Well, if nothing else, let's see how many of them we can take with us.
Owen and Hazel turned back to see the Grendels come rushing forward as one, triggered at last by some unknown signal. They surged in from all sides, crossing the wide clearing in a few seconds. They threw themselves against the great wooden wall, hammering on it till the whole length of the wall sounded like a giant drum. A fusillade of disruptor fire stabbed down, punching holes through the crimson silicon armor, but the Grendels didn't fall. Some Grendels came scrambling up the wall, steel mouths grinning mercilessly. Owen leaned over the edge and shot one of the Grendels through its broad, heart-shaped head. It convulsed and fell backwards. The other Grendels swarmed right over it. Everyone with a gun was on the catwalk now, all the length of the wall. But in the end, there just weren't enough guns, and there were far too many Grendels. When the steam cleared and the defenders lowered their exhausted guns, the Grendels were still surging forward and scrambling up the wall, trampling over the bodies of their own fallen to get at their prey. The archers stepped forward, leaned precariously out over the wall, and let fly. Every arrow struck its target and glanced harmlessly away. And that just left steel. The mission's defenders lifted swords and axes and farm implements with newly sharpened edges and waited for the enemy to come to them. The Grendels scrabbled up and over the outer wall in one great boiling wave, red as blood, savage as Satan, and threw themselves upon the catwalk defenders. Swords flashed and axes chopped, only to rebound helplessly from the living crimson armor. The Grendels tore their way through fragile human flesh, killing everything that came within reach. They ripped away limbs and tore off heads. A Grendel plunged its spiked hand into a leper's belly and tore out a handful of guts. Some jumped rather than face the Grendels. Outside, in the rain, Grendels smashed their way through the wall repairs and barricades and poured through in an unstoppable flood. It only took a few moments before the compound was swarming with the Scarlet Devils, and the real slaughter began. Men and women ran screaming everywhere, but the Grendels ran faster. Owen Deathstalker swung his sword double-handed with all his more-than-human strength, and sometimes the edge would cut through the crimson armor, and sometimes it wouldn't. Hazel Dark fought at his side, darting and dodging in the space available on the catwalk, searching for weak spots in the armor, thrusting the point of her sword into exposed joints and twisting it, and all to no avail. Like Owen, her strength was enough to keep the Grendels at bay, but that was all. Step by step, Owen and Hazel were driven back, while their merely human fellow defenders died around them, and they could do nothing to save them. Soon the catwalk was littered with the dead and dying, and slick with rivers of blood that dripped from the edges of the catwalk in another endless rain. And still more Grendels came swarming over and through the wall.
Fall back! Fall back!
Colonel William Hand yelled from down in the compound.
Fall back to the inner redoubt and let the booby traps do their work!
The surviving lepers on the catwalk turned and ran, crowding down the narrow stairways, the Grendels falling on those at the back. Owen and Hazel continued to retreat slowly, trying to buy the lepers near them some time. A Grendel ducked under the arc of Owen's blade and went for his throat. Owen lashed out instinctively, and his fist smashed through the heart-shaped head, splintering the crimson armor. The Grendel convulsed as Owen seized a handful of its brains and ripped them out of its skull. The creature spun helplessly in place until its fellows pulled it down and trampled it underfoot.
Nice touch.
Yeah. I think I broke my bloody hand.
In case you hadn't noticed, we're cut off from the stairs.
Then we'll just have to jump.
The fall will kill us.
We're not that lucky. Jump!
They beat aside the nearest Grendels, avoided the snapping jaws, ran to the edge of the catwalk, and threw themselves out into the air. It was a long way down, and for a few wonderful moments, it was almost like flying. And then they hit the ground hard, and all they could do was lie on the blood-soaked ground and gasp for breath. Up above them, the catwalk was completely overrun. Owen forced himself back onto his feet through sheer willpower and grabbed Hazel by the shoulder, pulling her up. There were people and Grendels running everywhere. A steel smile lunged for Hazel's throat. She grabbed the Grendel with both hands, whipped it up over her head, and threw it into the nearest concentration of Grendels. They went down in a pile of thrashing limbs. Owen and Hazel ran for the inner redoubt, the hall-sized communication center, set up as the only practical place to retreat to if the outer defenses were breached. Lepers ran with them, dodging or leaping over the hidden traps and pitfalls. Grendels raced after them. The creatures fell into the spike-bottomed pits, flattened the spikes, rose unharmed, and leapt right out again. Weight-driven spikes and sword blades flew out of hiding, only to glance harmlessly from the alien's spiked silicon armor. The improvised landmines erupted all across the compound in sudden spurts of smoke and flames, throwing Grendels into the air and even damaging a few. But there were always more. The defenders streamed into the last redoubt, packing it full. There were steel shutters on the windows and heavy bolts on the doors. Owen and Hazel took up a position before the great hall and went head-to-head with the first Grendels to arrive, trying to occupy the attention of as many aliens as they could to buy the arriving lepers a few more moments of precious time. Hazel guarded his side, warding off Grendels through the sheer ferocity of her attack. Bonnie Bedlam was there too, with Midnight Blue. Bonnie swung her sword with all her strength, beating Grendels to the ground and cracking open their armor. She was bleeding constantly from wounds that never had the time to heal properly before they were torn open again. But she repelled the growing weakness in her arms, relishing the never-ending rush of pain and regeneration. Midnight Blue teleported back and forth in a circle around her comrade-in-arms, blinking in and out of view just long enough to land a telling blow with her axe before vanishing again. She concentrated on the broad, heart-shaped heads, slamming her axe deep into the crimson skulls by repeated blows to the same spot. And here and there, Grendels fell to the bloody ground and scrabbled there helplessly, often torn apart by their own kind for getting in the way. Midnight teleported continuously, but it took a lot out of her. It was getting harder all the time to concentrate. She could feel herself slowing down, and the Grendels were starting to shake off her blows. All the maze people were slowing down, as they burned up the energies that fueled them. The human body was never meant to operate at such extremes for long. Colonel William Hand and Otto took their stand at the entrance to the maze of narrow alleys that led between the huts. Many lepers had gone to ground there, barricading themselves inside familiar surroundings. Hand didn't give much for their chances, but he did his best to buy them all the time he could. He fought savagely, calling up old skills as his strength quickly gave out. Otto guarded his side as always. But the Colonel was a long way past his prime, a man in his 50s already weakened by a terrible disease, and after a few desperate minutes, the Grendels knocked him down and swarmed right over him. He lay on his back, bleeding heavily from a dozen vicious wounds, trying to find the sword he'd dropped as crimson armored legs stamped down around him. A Grendel loomed over him, and steel claws slashed down. And then Otto was there one last time, throwing himself across his colonel. The steel claws sank deep into Otto's back and ripped away his hunch and half his spine. Otto shuddered once and died. The Grendel moved on. Hand tried to move the dead dwarf off him and couldn't. There was no feeling in his hands and no strength in his arms. His throat hurt, and he could hear his breath whistling strangely. He forced one hand to his neck, and it came away soaked in blood. One of the Grendels had cut him a good one, and he hadn't even noticed. The Colonel let his hand fall back on the hard ground. He had always thought he'd welcome a warrior's death, rather than let the leprosy eat him away by inches. But now the time was here, he would have traded everything for just a few more days, a few more hours of life. But God didn't make deals. He would have liked time to put his affairs in order, write a few letters. His thoughts drifted for a moment, before they snapped back into focus. He couldn't die yet. Not while he still had one last duty to perform, one last order to carry out. He forced his cold right hand to the remote control St. B had given to him. She trusted him to know the right time to use it and have the guts to hit the switch no matter what. The Colonel smiled grimly, his mouth leaking blood.
Goodbye, Otto.
Colonel Hand hit the switch. A massive thunderclap threw the ground up into the roof and tore the packed Grendels apart. The whole compound disappeared in a cloud of smoke, the wall blasted outwards by the shaped and positioned charges, while the huts of the village stood untouched. Alien guts and shards of crimson armor pattered back to the cratered ground. No trace remained anywhere of Colonel William Hand and Otto. Owen and Hazel fought doggedly on before the communication center, tired beyond pain or hope, driven now only by a determination not to fall while they were still needed. They were both bleeding freely from a dozen bad wounds, and the strength was going out of their blows. Owen looked around him. Nearly all the lepers were inside now, just a few more left. And then those were inside.
Sir Deathstalker, get inside so we can close and bolt the doors!
Owen considered it. Time seemed to slow right down, so that he had all the time in the world to make up his mind. He looked to his left and saw Bonnie and Midnight fighting back to back, their faces slack with pain and exhaustion, surrounded by Grendels. There was no way they could get to the hall in time. And besides, the hall wasn't much of a sanctuary anyway. The mission's outer wall had been far stronger, and it hadn't even slowed the Grendels down. Owen looked to his right and saw Hazel still fighting, dripping with her own blood. No, Owen decided, he wasn't going to turn and run. Time to play his last trump card and hope it was good enough.
Shut the door!
Owen turned back to face the enemy. He reached inside himself, diving once again through the undermine to the back brain and tapped into the power that lived there. He threw back his head, a and howled the old war cry of his clan.
Chandrakor!
And all his rage and frustration and need to defend the lepers of the mission came roaring up through him and burst out into the material world like a cyclone unleashed. Grendel sensed that something new had entered the fray and stopped and looked about them, confused. The ground shook, undulating under their feet, throwing them off balance. A great wind roared across what was left of the compound, scattering the Grendels like leaves in a hurricane. Owen looked about him, smiled once, and let loose his anger on the aliens. Those nearest to him blew apart in sudden explosions of blood and guts and shattered armor. Owen stalked unsteadily forward, his eyes wide and unblinking, his rage beating on the air in time to his heartbeat, his face grim and relentless. He had given himself up to his power as never before. He could feel it tearing him apart and didn't give a damn. He turned his head and Grendel's died where he looked. His boots hit the ground. An earthquake split apart the cratered earth of the compound. The Deathstalker had released his rage, and the Grendels could not stand against it. Owen knew the power was killing him. He could feel things tearing apart, breaking down inside. He knew he should shut the power down while he still could. That mortal man was not meant to burn so very brightly. But he couldn't. Not while the innocent still needed him. So he walked slowly on, killing Grendels, dying inside a little more with every step. Killing himself as he killed his enemy. Living up to the name Deathstalker. But all too quickly, there came a time when even need and determination couldn't drive him forward another step. His mortal frame had never been meant to channel so much power for so long, and finally, it had nothing left to give. Owen fell to his knees. He felt very tired. He'd done so much. Maybe he could sleep now. And if he was lucky, he wouldn't dream. He fell forward, and his face slammed into the blood-soaked ground. The winds shut down, the ground stopped shaking, and the rage of the Deathstalker no longer flew upon the air. Hazel Dark saw his last moment of glory, saw him fall. She'd watched in awe as his anger swept aside the Grendels, but now she cried out and ran to him. She put a hand on his shoulder, but there was no response. Hazel cried out again in shock and horror, and the pain of a heart breaking at last. She looked up and saw the remaining Grendels reforming. Owen had killed a lot of them, but there were still a hell of a lot left. They moved slowly forward, baring their steel teeth, flexing steel claws, and Hazel looked at them and smiled the coldest smile of her life. They were going to pay for what they had done, all of them. She tried to tell herself that her particular power wasn't needed, that the mission already had enough defenders, that she didn't need to call up alternates of herself and see them die over and over again. Bonnie and Midnight had made her alternates real to her as never before, but she needed them now, and so she called on them, not in her own name, but in Owen's. Called them forth to avenge the Deathstalker. And they came. And all the Grendels who hadn't died under Owen's attack suddenly found themselves facing an army of warrior women of varying faces and forms, but all of them united in pain and sorrow. There was a moment as both sides looked at each other and recognized a worthy adversary, and then they surged forward and clashed together, and the dying began. Guns roared and steel flashed, and metal teeth and claws tore human flesh, but for every Hazel that fell, another appeared to take her place. Hazel Dark had made herself a doorway through which an endless stream of alternates could appear for as long as they were needed, or for as long as Hazel Dark could stand it. And Hazel knew the effort was killing her. She would save the lepers, not so much because she cared about them, but because Owen had. She knelt beside her, her strength seeping out of her like blood from an open vein, and put one gentle hand upon his shoulder. She'd come this far with Owen Deathstalker, and if she had to follow him into the lands of the dead, she could do that too. Someone was calling her name. She turned her head slowly and saw Tobias Moon kneeling beside her.
Dark, listen to me. We can't win this way. There's too many of them. But seeing you use your power has shown me how to use mine. I know what to do. Trust me. Reach out to me, and we can win this fight a different way.
How?
The Red Brain. It isn't in the jungle. It is the jungle.
And his mind reached out to hers and made contact. And through her, Moon touched all the other Hazels. Bonnie and Midnight were there too, and Owen. They all joined together, melding and merging. Then reached out and gathered up all the living minds in the mission, from the sickest leper to Saint Bee herself. And together they turned outwards, forged into one force, one thought, and touched the Red Brain. The gestalt consciousness of all the plant life on Lacrimae Christi. The jungle, millions of square miles of it, was all one connected body, and its mind was the Red Brain. This was what the Hayden men had come in search of, which Shove had sent the Grendels to seize or control or destroy. A whole new form of consciousness, unknown anywhere else in the Empire. A mind the size of a world. The Red Brain's thoughts were slow, moving with the rhythm of day and night and the turning of the seasons, endlessly dying, endlessly living, immeasurably old. Alone for millennia until the new mind touched it. Friendship was new, and joy at being alone no longer. But it learned need and necessity too, and stretched out its vast and mighty body to help its new friend. The jungle around the mission erupted into movement, driven at a speed it had never known before. Trees uprooted themselves and fell across the fallen mission wall. And across these bridges, the jungle advanced and fell upon the Grendels. Barbed flails and crawling vines wrapped themselves around the scarlet aliens and tore them apart with slow, implacable strength. Deadly plants with gaping maws and hideous strength erupted out of the broken ground of the compound, called up from deep below by the jungle's voice. Grendels were swallowed up or ripped to pieces, too small to stand against the will of the jungle. The aliens turned and tried to flee the killing ground, but once they left the mission, huge sucking pits appeared under their feet and dragged them down. And only a few minutes after it had begun, the jungle grew still again, because there were no more Grendels left to kill. The Red Brain and the mass human mind touched again. It hadn't really noticed the human presence on Lacrimae Christi before. They hadn't been there long enough. Far, far in its unimaginable past, there had been a time when it was not alone. But that was so long ago, it was more instinct than memory. Recognizing another, it was overjoyed to have companionship again, and it begged the human mind not to abandon it. For all its age, it was really only a child. The human mind reassured it. There were espers among the lepers. Communication would be possible, now that they both knew what they were looking for. And now that the Red Brain had showed its strength, Hayden and Shub would never dare come again. The human mind looked around the mission, sorrowing over its many dead, and then fell back into its many bodies. There was much work to be done.